evening and welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad that you have joined us tonight, whether you're on Reality Radio 101 or you're on Facebook. I'm so glad that we are all together tonight. There is no distance in the spirit. So grab your Bible, grab a notepad, and we're going to get into the word tonight. God is good all the time. Whatever you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God is not and has never been your problem and never will be your problem. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and He has a solution for every single situation that you are going through. So do not fear. Put your eyes on Him and trust Him, and He will guide you right through by His word. Praise God. So if you'd like to get on board tonight, I'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, if you want to join me on the air, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com, where we will go to the Word of God to talk about whatever your situation is and find out what is God's mind on this situation, which is a lot of what we're going to discuss tonight as the Lord leads us. Once again, you can get on board by emailing me, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you would like to get on board live, just email me, instudio101@gmail.com. Put in the subject Zoom, Z-O-O-M, and our wonderful producer, Gary, will send you back a link and he will connect you. I was talking to Gary tonight. I'm thinking about only making the show available on Reality Radio 101 and Zoom and cutting out Facebook. So let me know what you think about that. But you'll still be able to join us and watch on Zoom. It's still over the internet, so it's just a different platform. Right now, we broadcast from Zoom onto Facebook, but I'm thinking about just doing Zoom and cutting out Facebook. So I'm praying about that. You can pray with me about it and let me know what you think. Praise the Lord. But once again, I'd love to hear from you tonight, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get right into the word tonight in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the thanksgiving tonight. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, all that you have done and all that you are doing. We thank you, Lord, for being so good and so faithful. And we thank you for this listening audience tonight. Whatever their needs are, Father, we join our faith together for every need to be met. And we thank you in advance for it. Thank you for a flow of the Holy Spirit taking us in the direction that you would have us to go. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's go to our foundation text, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I pistis, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also pistis, and therefore speak. Now, what is this word pistis? Well, it's the Greek word for faith. The word believe and faith is the exact same Greek word, and it means confidence. It means assurance. It means persuasion. It can also mean a knowing that you know that you know. So it's not something that you are trying to believe. It's something that you know. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or the word from God. The word there is the Greek word rhema, which means the spoken word. So we're not talking about faith coming from something you read. We're talking about faith coming from something you hear. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing." The word hearing can, let me go there real quick. Go over to Romans 10, 17. The word hearing in the Greek is also translated report. So then faith cometh by report, and report of the word of God, or by the word of God. The word hearing is the Greek word ekoe, and ekoe means hearing, but it also means a report. It's also translated rumor, or something that's been going around. We even see that in the ministry of Jesus. We see that they received faith that they could be healed because they heard a report that Jesus was healing people. And when they heard that, it built on the inside of them. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and he breathes his life onto it. And all of a sudden, that faith is birthed by the Spirit on the inside of you. And once that faith, that reality comes on the inside, there is a knowing. Think about Abraham. You remember Abraham's name was Abram. And God changed his name and said, "You now shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you." And he then changed his name. And everywhere he went, he told people, "Don't call me Abram anymore. Call me Abraham or Abraham." And so from that moment forward, when that became a reality on the inside, he changed his confession. No longer was he saying, "I'm Abram." Now he's saying, "I am Abraham. I am the father of many nations." Why? Because God said, "I have made you a father of many nations." And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. How do we know he believed God? Because he believed in his heart what God said, and then he said it with his mouth. Let's back up. I think you're in Romans chapter 10. If you're not there, grab your Bible, open up to Romans, the 10th chapter, and let's start reading here a little bit, beginning with let's go all the way back to verse 9. Let's go back to verse 8. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Now, this is a whole nother message, but I'll go ahead and give it to the hungry people who love God's word. The word mouth is the Greek word stome. And stome means the front edge of a weapon, the front edge of a weapon. So your mouth is like a weapon, and the words that come out of it are powerful. When you think of a weapon, for example, a shotgun, my bishop, my pastor, who I have the honor of working for, I've been working for him for 18 years, and I'm back here now in the Detroit, Michigan area in Southfield, working directly for him. And he's been so gracious to let us continue this radio show. Make sure you keep praying for our bishop, and I thank God for him. But he taught us years ago that the word stome, the front edge of a weapon, a good example would be a shotgun. And you know the power of a shotgun, right, Gary?
Yes, of course.
I mean, I was looking at some ballistics recently about different guns, and literally the most powerful, one of the most powerful weapons that you can get a hold of just as a citizen, is a shotgun. Shotgun does more damage than almost any other firearm, and it is extremely dangerous. Well, what people don't realize is that your mouth is like a shotgun, and when you put bullets in it that are words, your words are firing out of your mouth, and they are either going to heal somebody or cut somebody down. Words are powerful, and words can destroy, and words can heal. And so what comes out of your mouth is powerful. And when it comes from your heart, the word of God, what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Who wrote the book of Romans, Gary?
That was a good question.
I love putting you on the spot.
I'm thinking.
I know you're multitasking, so I'll help you.
I am. But
the apostle. The apostle.
Paul.
Paul, you got it. And notice it says, in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Did you know that Paul was a word of faith preacher?
No.
Absolutely. He said, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord. The word Lord here is kurios, which means the master, the boss, the king, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with your heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Notice, whoever believes on him. Now, how did the lepers believe that Jesus could heal them? They heard it from somebody. How did the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 4, how did she believe that Jesus could heal her? She heard it from somebody. How did Ananias, how did he have faith to believe? Because he heard it from somebody. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word from God. Let's keep reading. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Hare Krishna, whatever, and no religion at all, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word call is epikaleo. Epikaleo means whosoever shall appeal, worship, testify. There's some humility that comes with it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved is the Greek word sozo, and it means to be delivered, to be healed, to be rescued, and to be made whole. Verse 14, how then shall they call to do what? To get saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, what's the answer to all these things? They can't. They're not going to be saved if they don't hear. They're not going to call on him if they haven't heard. And if there's no preacher, they're not going to be able to hear. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Irene, of peace, shalom from the Hebrew, and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice that the gospel is good news. It's good tidings. Gary, have you ever heard anybody say that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell?
Yes.
Is that good news?
Yes.
No. It's good news that if you don't believe, you're going to go to hell?
Well, no, not to the person.
Exactly. Yeah. That ain't good news. Now, if they say, if you believe on him, you'll be saved. That sounds like glad tidings. That sounds like good news. And they might ask, well, saved from what? Well, saved from our sins. Every one of us need a savior. But you hear so many times people are preaching, if you don't quit this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't stop doing this, you're going to go to hell. You know, none of those things are good tidings. None of those things are good things. None of those things is really what the Bible describes as the gospel. Now, of course, there are consequences to our decisions or our indecisions. If you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life, you've made a decision. You've rejected him. You've rejected Jesus. If you hear the gospel and you say, I'm not interested, you rejected the Lord. And there are consequences. But the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. What is the goodness of God? That's the gospel. That's the glad tidings of good things. We need to stop telling people about their sins. We need to stop preaching sins and preaching all of this negative stuff to people because that's not the good report. Now, yes, there is a place for that. Yes, there is a result to people's decisions. But what's going to lead people to repentance is preaching the glad tidings, preaching the good things about God, because God is good. There is no badness in God at all. There is nothing negative in God. It's all good. Praise God. If it's good, it's God. If it's not good, it ain't God. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. But I say, no, I went too far. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And we just saw a moment ago when we were reading verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing or by a report, praise God. This word report is the Greek word akoē. This word hearing is the Greek word akoē. So you see right here in verse 16, he gives a different definition of this word or a different translation. No, what's the word I'm looking for? A different interpretation of this word. It's given a different word, but it's the same Greek word. So in verse 16, he says, who has believed our report is the Greek word akoē, and the word hearing is the word report. So who has believed our hearing? Who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by report, and report of the word of God. This preposition by is the Greek word dia. Dia means through or in or by or from. It could be any of these different prepositions. Praise God. It's translated therefore, because, through. So we could say that faith cometh by or through report and report through the word of God. So it's the word of God that produces faith on the inside of us. And this word in the Greek is the word rhema. Rhema means spoken word. So it's not talking about just what you read on a piece of paper. It's very important to read the word of God. And let me take it one step further. It's important to read the word of God out loud, to speak it out loud so you can hear it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, or the word attend means get busy. Get busy to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health or medicine to all their flesh. The next verse says, put away from thee a froward mouth, or a mouth that is contrary to the word of God. As you speak the word of God, you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. But understand that this revelation, this illumination, this understanding that we get from the rhema, from the spoken word, is when the Holy Spirit speaks his life on it. He quickens that word. He makes it alive. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit brings it to life. The Holy Spirit breathes his life. And all of a sudden, you go from being not understanding to understanding. As a Catholic growing up, you were Catholic too, weren't you, Gary?
Yep.
I grew up with a lot of Bible. I had theology every, you know, at least 1 hour a day. I went to my parents were gracious enough to put me in Catholic education. I went to Catholic school my entire childhood from K through 12. And we always had theology. I was always learning about the Bible and learning about the Word of God, but I had no illumination. I had no revelation. I had no understanding until I got born again. And in 1990, 1993. I was in the middle of the woods on a trip, and I had never been on this type of trip before. And I'm out there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and this question came to my heart, to my mind. And the question was, where would you go if you died right now? And I tell you, man, I got scared. I literally got scared because I believed at that moment, Gary, that if I died, I was going to hell. Now, I'd never been to hell. I ain't never seen hell. But I somehow at that moment, I knew that hell was a real place and I didn't want to go there. And so I didn't know what was happening. If I was having some type of medical experience or medical breakdown, I didn't know what was going on, but I was scared. I could feel my heart pounding out of my chest. I got down on my knees and I said this simple prayer. I said, God, if you're really real, let me know. And all of a sudden, I asked the Lord to forgive me. I said, God, forgive me. I just somehow knew at that moment that he heard my prayer, that he was there and that he was answering my prayer. And I said, forgive me. And when I did, I felt like the biggest sack of potatoes that I'd been carrying around. I didn't even know I was carrying it around, fell off my back. And all of a sudden, I felt light. I started laughing. I started thanking him. I knew I was forgiven. And then I started speaking in a language that I had never spoken in. And I started speaking in tongues right there in the middle of the woods by myself. Nobody else was around. And that changed my life forever. And I've been serving Jesus ever since. That was 1993, November 15th at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget. I don't have a calculator in front of me. I don't know how many years ago that was. 27 years. I think it'll be 28 years this year. Praise God. But it changed my life forever. What happened? Well, the Holy Spirit quickened his word to me, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and I got saved. Hallelujah. And he changed my life forever. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that faith comes from a report. Faith comes from hearing. And the word faith is that Greek word pistis. And pistis means assurance, confidence, persuasion. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. That's not faith. Somebody can see a miracle, literally see a miracle and still not have faith, because faith doesn't come from seeing miracles. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, miracles can fortify, or miracles can get your attention. Miracles are like the calling card for the supernatural, for the reality of God in your life. But you're never going to have your faith stand on a miracle. Your faith is only going to stand or be secure as you trust and have confidence and persuasion in the word of God. Again, Abram heard from God. No longer is your name Abram, but you are Abraham, the father of many nations. And he believed God. And when he did, he changed his confession. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Praise God. Now, let's go over to Corinthians. Turn over to, praise God. Where do I want to go? Let's go to head toward 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me pull it up real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at, go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, turning in my Bible the old-fashioned way here. 1 Corinthians 2. Thank you, Jesus. And let's begin with verse. Praise God. You hear my pages turning. Let's start with verse 6. Let's back up to verse 4. Well, let's start with verse 1. And I, brethren, came not unto you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing logos. Now, the word here is different from rhema. Rhema is the report, the spoken word. Logos is the written word. In John chapter 1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word there every time is the written word, the Logos. Jesus Christ is the written word of God. He is the Logos. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you talk about the word of God and you talk about Jesus, they are synonymous. They are one and the same. With enticing logos of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, capital S, demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, which is the Greek word dunamis. Verse 5, that your confidence, your faith, your persuasion should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the dunamis, the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or of full maturity, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught or come to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which was hidden, it's not hidden anymore, which God it's hidden from some, but not from all. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has blinded their hearts and blinded their minds, lest they should believe. Yet the moment they believe, Jesus said, the moment he would heal them, but they have to choose to believe. Gary, have you ever heard anybody say, I just can't believe that?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know that that's not a true statement?
I never thought of it that way.
It's not true. What they should be saying is, I choose not to believe that.
Right. Okay. That makes
sense. Because faith is a choice. You can choose to believe anything you want.
Right.
The fact that you say, I can't believe that, is not true. What they ought to say is, I choose not to believe that. Okay. See, when you take God at his word, and he's given us 66 books, and you say, God, I believe that you are the creator, and I believe that you are who you say you are, and I believe that you are, being God Almighty, were able to get a book into my hands that is your will. That takes faith. And then you say, okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to believe what you have said in your book. And what God will say, and he's already said it in his word, in Psalms, it says the word of the Lord is tried. It is a shield and a buckler. What does that mean, it's tried? Well, if you buy gold, for example, what might you do? Well, let me give you a better example. I was with my sister having lunch today, Gary, and she was telling me that she knows somebody who got engaged to be married. And this woman decided to take her ring to the jewelry store to get it cleaned. And the jeweler, can you guess what happened? The jeweler said, oh, ma'am, that's a beautiful cubic zirconia that you have.
Oh, so it was wrecked?
She found out that it wasn't a real diamond, yeah, but her fiance had tried to pull a fast one over on her, uh-huh, and gave her a cubic zirconia that was an imitation of the real thing. So when we talk about this word tried, the jeweler tried the so-called diamond to find out it wasn't a diamond at all. It was a cubic zirconia. When the psalmist said the word of the Lord is tried, he's saying that the word of the Lord has already been tested. The word of the Lord has already been proven. The word of the Lord has already been found to be tried and true. That's why when the psalmist said, taste of the Lord and see that he is good, you're never going to taste something phony with God. You're never going to taste something fake with God. He's the real deal all the time. Everything that he says is true. Everything that he says, you can take it to the bank, for instance. You can take it to the jeweler and say, test this. And you're going to find out that the word of God every time is true. It cannot fail. It cannot come short. Every promise of God in Christ is yes, and every promise is amen. It's already been tested and tried and proven to be the real deal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I got so excited, I forgot where I was. Hallelujah. So verse 7, once again, for we speak the wisdom of God in a mysterion, even the hidden wisdom, which was hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our honor, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man or mankind, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So notice that these realities, these truths, are revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. But we have to make the choice to believe God and to take him at his word. Once again, if you say, well, I just can't believe that, that's not true. You choose not to believe it. You can believe it. But you choose not to believe it. And I would encourage you to make a change from that stance if that's you. If you've said there are certain things that I cannot believe in the word of God, then you're picking and choosing. I want you to know that all the word of God is true. Every last word in this book called the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is the truth. Every last word, the part about tongues, the part about healing, the part about deliverance, the part about Jesus coming back, every single part of it is true. But it takes a choice. Come on, say faith is a choice.
Faith is a choice.
Thank you. And you make a choice to believe. What is faith? Faith is pistis, the Greek word, confidence, assurance, persuasion. You make a choice. And notice that faith cometh by a report. And a report by faith cometh by a report, and report by the word of God, or a report of the word of God. And so the more you hear the word, the more your faith is going to be built up. That's why if you want to receive the faith that you need to get you through to victory, first of all, Jesus said you only need faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. You don't need a lot of faith. You just got to use what you got. Take the word that you have, begin to apply it, begin to act on it, spend time reading the Bible, read the word of God, and you're going to see that your faith is going to increase and increase. Why? Because you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. And as you give him something to work with, he's then going to take it and he's going to quicken it to you. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. And I believe it's right here in this chapter. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 10, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the spirit of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? So who knows your own spirit? Bishop Butler had a great message today. He's teaching right now. I encourage you to go get it. You can go online to wordoffaith.cc. That's wordoffaith.cc. And you can download the message. And he's talking about your life and living a good life. I'm trying to remember the title of the message. I got it right here somewhere. Bless the Lord. Living well. And he's done two parts. There'll be a third part in a couple of weeks, but learning how to live well. And learning how to live well means cooperating with the Holy Spirit. When you put that word in you, the Holy Spirit will quicken it to you. And then James tells us you need to be a doer of the word. When you're a doer of the word, you will be blessed in your deed. Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading. Oh, that's what Bishop was saying. He was saying that nobody knows him better than himself. The only one that knows him better is God. He knows himself better than his wife. He knows himself better than his mother. He knows himself better than anybody on earth, except God, of course. And the only person that knows you that way is yourself. And that's why he says here, who knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? That's your spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So the spirit of God knows the things of God. Now notice verse 12, now, or but we have received not the spirit of this world, but we have received the spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. This word know, I'm almost 100% sure, is epignosis, but I'm going to look it up real quick. 1 Corinthians 2:12. It's not. It's eido. Is like an examination. It's like a doctor examining a patient, and it's a understanding from a physical experience. So when we see where it says that Jesus walks among the candlesticks and knows your works, the word know is eido, E-I-D-O in the Greek, and it means that he understands through experience. So he says that no one understands through experience the things that are freely given to us of God, but by the Holy Spirit. This is why, saints, listen now, listen. This is why the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important. Jesus even said in John, I believe it's chapter 16, he said, it's more important, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Spirit will not come. But when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's the word of God that is truth. The word truth means reality. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all reality. But again, we've got to give him something to work with. That's why it is so important to spend time reading your Bible every day. We have a Bible reading program. You can join us. It's only one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And in 1 year, you will have read the whole New Testament. It takes 7 minutes to read the chapter on average in the morning. Read your chapter every day. You'll have read the whole New Testament in a year. You can start with us. Just go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And you can download our Bible reading program. It's very simple. And it's one chapter a day. Praise God. I encourage you to do that. I think we're in Corinthians right now, as a matter of fact. It's only Monday through Friday. Praise God. Also, I'd encourage you to check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. And I want to welcome all of our first time listeners tonight. We always get 70 to 100 and some new listeners every single week. I'd love you to give me a shout out. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. We'll give you a shout out on the air. Love to hear from you. But certainly check out our website and it'll be a blessing to you. Praise God. Let's keep reading for a few more moments and then I'll get to your emails. You can email me once again, instudio101@gmail.com. We are in verse 13. So it's by the Spirit that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, you cannot know these things apart from the Holy Spirit. Before I was born again, like I was describing earlier, I would read, but I wouldn't understand. I would try to get it, but I couldn't get it. I'm reminded right now of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was on the road, and he was in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah. And he's saying to himself, I can't understand this unless someone explains it to me. And all of a sudden, Philip, the evangelist, shows up and he joins him with his chariot and begins to minister to him and begins to tell him this guy in Isaiah 53 is Jesus of Nazareth, who just died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And he says, sir, I believe. What do I have to do to get baptized? He said, just believe with all your heart and you'll be saved. And he took him down into the water. He baptized him in water. And when they both came out of the water, Philip disappeared and he was translated right in front of the Ethiopian eunuch. Praise God. And so it's believing with all your heart. And all of a sudden, your eyes will be open. You'll begin to understand. You'll begin to see things that only the Holy Spirit can explain. Verse 14, but the carnal man, the natural man, the body ruled man, the man that's only connected to the five senses, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges, or this word judge, better translation would be discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged or condemned of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So when you come to Jesus and you get born again, you receive the mind of Christ. And all we have to do now is believe and give the Holy Spirit something to work with. If God has said it, all we have to do is believe it and say it, and that settles it, and you're going to see the results of God's word in your life. Praise God. All right, saints, I'd love to hear from you tonight. Email me, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Let me give a shout out to some of my friends on Facebook. Good evening to Sister Joan and Todd. Much agape to you as well. Susanna, Janet, Ulette. Good evening, Minister Ulette. Joan, good evening. Susan, good evening. Andrew, good evening. Veronica, Jan, my friend, good evening. Praise God. She says, Zoom sounds good. Hallelujah. We only got a handful of people right now on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Let's see who else is on here. Divine, good evening and God bless you. Minister Michelle, good evening and God bless you. Delari, God bless you. Vince, good evening. Chrissy, good evening. Praise God. Welcome to all my Facebook friends. Praise God. I hope you hit that like button and share. I don't think I got a couple likes. Praise God. Hit that like button and share in Jesus' name. Let's go to our emails tonight and see what we got. It's not too late. You can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Got an email here tonight from our friend Amy. Amy says, science says that we need at least four basic elements to survive: water, air, food, and light. And look what the Bible tells us about Jesus. I am the living water. I am the bread of life, the breath of life. I am the bread of life, and I am the life, light of the world. Amen. And we need those four basic elements to survive. Good stuff. Thank you for that tonight, Amy. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Francis. Francis says, hello, Pastor. We hate Facebook. Get rid of it. Them and their jail, left-wing garbage. Praise God. Well, you know, Facebook is now Meta. Isn't that right, Gary?
That is correct.
And does anybody know, do you know what the word Meta means in Hebrew? It's really interesting because Zuckerberg is Jewish, and Mark Zuckerberg changed the name and called it Meta. And guess what Meta means in Hebrew?
I used to know it.
It means death.
Okay. I thought it meant sickness, but yeah.
It actually means death. He changed the name of Facebook to mean death. And that's part of why I'm thinking of coming off of it. Praise God. I want to support as little garbage as I have to. Agreed. And yeah, so at most of our listeners anyways are on the radio for the most part. We have thousands and thousands of listeners on the radio. And what a privilege it is to come into your homes every week. I love you all so much. Well, thank you for that comment, Francis. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Jim. Jim says, hi, Pastor. Can you embellish on eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Should we? That's a great question, Jim. So eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is from the law of Moses. Of course, under the law, there were 613 in the Hebrew mitzvahs. Mitzvahs mean commandments, and they were commanded to keep all of these laws. And it was written in the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if someone does you wrong, you can do wrong back to them in the same manner that it was done to you. Exodus 21, go there, please. Exodus 21, verse 24. Let's back up just a hair. Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, in other words, she loses the baby, miscarriage, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. In other words, the punishment should equal the crime. Does that make sense, Gary?
Yes, it does.
Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man that's a stripe for stripe, in other words, wound for wound. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out of his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. So in other words, he was saying it an eye for an eye, but Jesus also talked about that. And let's look at that real quick, because Jesus was quoting the law. And he was saying, it is written in the law, but I say, let's see what Jesus said. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. You have heard that it has been said, this is the Beatitudes. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, see, there are people that say that Jesus was preaching the Old Testament. I even heard a big preacher recently, Gary, and he said that Jesus was preaching the law to the people of the law. Jesus did not preach the law. Jesus lived the law, but Jesus preached the kingdom. He preached the ways of the kingdom. So he says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, give him your shirt also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Jesus was teaching us the ways of God, the ways of the kingdom of God. He was not teaching us the law. Praise God. So the old covenant said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't resist evil. But whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, offer to him the other also. Praise God. Amen. Love never fails. Today, our pastor, Bishop Butler, he read us from 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. And it talks about the ways of love. And of course, God is love. And it's interesting because my wife and I, in our prayer time early this morning, as we were praying, we were just embellishing about love and how love is the answer and love never fails. And love always causes us to win because 1 John 4, 7, and 8 tell us that God, he doesn't have love. God is love. That's who he is. Praise God. Love always wins. You know, one reason I know Gary is born again, because I gotten to talk to him personally and I hear the love of God come out of him, because there are some things going on in his life where he could be mad at a bunch of people, but he just loves them. Don't you, Gary?
Absolutely. Amen.
And that's the love of God. That's how we know that we have passed. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, I think it's verse 13, that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And when you've got the real love of God inside you, that's how you know you are born again. Praise God. Jim, thanks for getting us stirred up tonight. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. You can still get on board tonight. We got about 7 or 8 minutes. You can email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. I don't see any first timers writing me. So take a quick second, write me wherever you are, first timer. Let me know where you're writing from. And I'd love to give you a shout out tonight. Praise God. In studio101@gmail.com. This next one is from our friend Bill. Bill says, thank you, Pastor John, for all that he does for us in the Word. Praise God. He's done so much for us and it's already done. But many times the reason why we're living on the lower levels of life is because we don't know the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, you're not going to be able to walk in it. You know, Gary, imagine if your aunt passed away and she left you $10 million, but you didn't know about it.
Yeah.
What would you have for you the whole time?
What would I have?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the 10 million.
Well, you would. You just wouldn't be able to enjoy it. It's got your name on it. It's waiting for you to claim it. And that's one thing that a lot of times as Christians, we don't realize that we are living on the lower level of life because we are not claiming our inheritance. This is our inheritance. The Word of God is our inheritance. Jesus is our inheritance. The promises of God are our inheritance, but we have to claim them. And the only way that you can take possession of them is with faith. And there is no faith without speaking. That's why it's so important that you grab a hold of the promises of God and to begin to claim them. Just like God said, your name is no longer Abram, but your name is Abraham. For a father of many nations, I have made you. Someone said, well, Pastor, how do I claim it? Well, did God in his word say that by his stripes you were healed? Let's have Gary stand in for every listening audience tonight. Did Jesus say that by his stripes you were healed?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't say it, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Isaiah 53 tells us that by his stripes you was healed and you were healed. So if that's his promise, then in order for you to lay a hold of it, you have to claim it. Which means you got to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Once you claim your inheritance, then you'll begin to receive your inheritance. But and as long as you say, I can't believe that, it's too big, it's too hard, all this kind of stuff, all that is unbelief. And you're not going to receive the answer to God's promise in your life until you choose to believe. Thank you, Bill. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Ron. Ron says, blessings to Pastor John and his radio staff. I love the show, listening from Boulder, Colorado. Praise God, Ron. Give you a shout out in Boulder and call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from John. John says, hello, Pastor. Besides Jesus Christ, who is the most important character, disciple of the New Testament? Thanks. Well, I think unequivocally it would be Paul. Now, every single one of them are important, every one of them. But I'd have to say that God has raised Paul to a level where he had him write 2/3 of what we call the New Testament. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the list goes on and on and on. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul, and God used him at a very high level because he was very meek and humble, and God was able to do amazing things in him, and God gets all the glory. But certainly, besides Jesus, I would say he is number two. Great question tonight, John Tamino. Call you blessed, brother, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Gloria. Gloria says, Pastor, I thought this was a very cute joke. And it's a picture of what looks like maybe Moses, bald on top and long hair with glasses. And it says, phew. I just created a 24-hour period of altering lightness and darkness on earth. And somebody says, what are you going to do now? And oh, maybe it's supposed to be God the Father. And then he says, call it a day. Huh, that's cute. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that tonight, Gloria. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Craig. Craig says, hi, Pastor, my attachment. It says the Bible is literally unfolding in front of the whole world right now. It's time to get right with God. Whoo, that is the truth, my friend. Right now we are seeing everything unfolding very, very quickly. You need to be right with God. That is the most important message of the hour, is be right with God. I was reading a book recently by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and he wrote a book called The Harbinger, and it's about 11 different signs of the end times. And he wrote about that book. He said, my goal was not to set dates or prophesy anything specific. My goal was for people to get right with God. And that is the most important thing. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is coming soon, and it's time to be right. Call you blessed, Craig, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Dave. Dave says, hello again, Pastor. And it's a picture of a man with a beard, and St. Pio of Pietrasilina, from the book Padre Pio Under Investigation. And it says, you can't give God deadlines. That goes right with the last email we just had from Craig. And you're right, we cannot give God deadlines. So be ready. Let me give you a scripture on that. It's in 2 Peter, I think chapter 3, and I'm just going to quote it for time's sake. But it says that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. So people say, you know, where's the promise of the coming? We've been hearing it for decades and centuries that Jesus is coming. Oh, he's coming. You just got to be patient, because he's waiting. He's being patient, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And one thing that will help you understand God's timing is that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So as far as God's concerned, it's only been 2 days since Jesus was raised from the dead. In other words, the church is only 2 days old, praise God. So 2 days ain't nothing. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, your weekends go so fast these days, 2 days ain't nothing. So for God, 2 days ain't nothing. And very soon, Jesus is going to return, and we need to be ready. Praise God. Thank you for that, Dave. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Carl. Carl says, Satan thought he had taken everything from Job. And it's a picture of what looks like Job with three friends behind him. And Job's got nothing except a old nasty garment. Job was a billionaire in today's standards. And he's got nothing on him except an old dirty garment. And his skin is all got boils and looks terrible. And it says, but to Job, God was his everything, and God turned everything around in Job's life when Job began to pray for his friends. Praise God. God is so good and faithful. Call you blessed tonight, Carl, in Jesus' name. I believe this is the last email of the night from our friend Beth. Beth says, hi, Spirit of Faith. Remember, no storm is too big when you have faith in God. That's all. Amen. That is the truth, and that is the reality. David saw a big giant before him. named Goliath that everybody was scared of, including King Saul. But David didn't see a big giant. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine. He saw a giant that had no covenant with God. And David said, David opened up his mouth and said, I will cut off his body and feed it to cut off his head and feed his body to the birds. David began to speak faith over his situation. And that's what you and I got to do. Well, it's been an honor to be with you tonight. I want to encourage you to go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Also, check out wordoffaith.cc this week, wordoffaith.cc. There's going to be a tremendous convention this week, beginning Wednesday, with special guest Mark Hankins, the prophet, just lost his name. My wife's probably screaming it right now. Hank Kuhneman and Apostle Mike Freeman and Bishop Butler and all kinds of other wonderful guests. So you can check that out. It begins Wednesday night at 7 p.m. wordoffaith.cc. Love to have you join us this week at convention time. Praise God. Until next week, I want to remind you, God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to